Today's episode is brought to you by Harvest House, a publishing house that produces fresh, innovative products that inspire creativity, encourage families, enrich lives, and point people toward Jesus. Harvest House offers a wide variety of books to encourage kids to grow in their faith, including Love Made by Kina Aragon, Bible Infographics for Kids, and Courageous World Changers by Shirley Ray Redman. Find all these books and more at HarvestHousePublishers.com. For the rest of April, you can receive free shipping and 40% off books purchased on their website with the code STAYHOME, STAYHOME. We're so thankful for Harvest House support. Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, it's me, Laura, popping in again just to remind you all that today's show was recorded quite a while ago, well before coronavirus affected all of our lives. You're going to hear Emily and I talk about this on the show, but today's episode is actually one part of a two-part series on sanctification in the life of a mom. I think right now all of us can say we are being sanctified majorly by the changes and effects in our lives from the coronavirus, right? Which is why you might find it kind of weird that we didn't mention it on today's show if you didn't know that we recorded it a while ago. Anyway, I just wanted to give you a heads up about that and let you know that you're going to hear us about kind of lighter, regular life things that are sanctifying us, and it might feel a little off for our current moment. But we do trust that God can use it, and hopefully it will still be an encouragement to you. And actually, it's been really fun to hear from so many of you that you've actually appreciated that our content isn't coronavirus heavy, and you've actually been pleasantly surprised by how relevant it all still is. So have we. Okay, on a side note, we also mentioned on today's show about grabbing the Risen Motherhood book, and since I'm recording this just a few days before release, I want to let you know that it is on a great sale on several sites throughout the web. We're going to link to the best deals on our show notes today, as well as note the ones that can hopefully get to your door or the door of another mom you care about by Mother's Day. There is also a free downloadable card that you can print on our site that matches the book. It's really pretty. It's got like the whole floral thing going on. Print it for free, fill it out with a sweet note, and let the recipient know that, hey, this book is coming, or hey, this book is here and I wanted to give it to you. Another idea for Mother's Day gift, if you're looking, is to consider making a donation to Risen Motherhood in the name of a mother that you care about. As most of you guys know, we're a nonprofit, and your donations are key for us to be able to continue producing the content and resources that you guys know and love. So right now, if you make a donation of $50 or more, Risen Motherhood will send a note in your name to your designated recipient. Just head over to risenmotherhood.com/dedicate gift to learn more. Lastly, I want to let you guys know that Emily and I have a new devotional on YouVersion that you can check out. It's just 5 days long, so it's nice and quick, and hopefully it's an encouraging read leading up to Mother's Day. It's a great devotion for you to share with a mom friend if they haven't checked out our content before, and we'd love it if you'd consider sharing it with friends and reading it with them, or share it on your social platform so more moms can hear about the hope of the gospel. Okay, that's all from me for today. Let's get to the show. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura and I have my sister-in-law Emily here.
Hello.
And actually, Mother's Day is around the corner, and we just want to encourage you guys, if you have not checked out the Risen Motherhood book yet, it would make an awesome Mother's Day gift if you're looking for something to add to your list or to perhaps give to another mother in your life, a friend, a sister-in-law, your own mom, whatever that might be. The book is really beautiful, and we're hopeful that it feels very giftable in a way and that it would just be a blessing for any mom that receives it. So you can buy that anywhere books are sold.
Yeah, and there's also a Kindle version and a audio version as well, if either of those two are appealing for you.
Yeah.
So today's show, we are going to be kind of talking about something related to the book, because in the book, we're exploring like the overarching vision for motherhood, and then the way that we take the big story of the Bible, the gospel, creation, fall, redemption, consummation, and just apply that into our very everyday lives. Because I think sometimes we can lose our bearings a little bit just in the in and out mundane responsibilities that we have.
Yeah, I think that it can often kind of feel like, what is the point of all of this? What are we pursuing? And maybe you wouldn't phrase it exactly like this, but I think deep in our core, we all are kind of wondering, does all of this matter? The hard stuff, the mundane stuff, the light, the easy. I don't know, it can just get feeling very cyclical, very routine. And we're wondering, like, is this going to be worth it? Or where are we headed?
Yeah, I feel that way a lot in meal planning. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, I'll spend time on the weekend and I'll try to get all these recipes and I get all my groceries. And it'll just feel like, well, nobody even really liked what I made, or nobody ate it that night, or my husband ended up coming home from work late. And so he ate it cold. And you're like, ah. I put in all this time, and does anybody, you know, did that help anybody?
I would be very curious what the number of hours a typical mom spends on meal planning and meal prep.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be a significant portion of our lives. Like, you think about social media, you know, they say, oh, you spend 3 hours a day on social media. That's like 7 years of your life. What would it be for meal planning?
It's a lot more for food.
It's got to be like 50 years.
Yeah, it is a huge part of how we like nourish our families.
And yeah, it's important.
I think at times, even though like we know it's important, we've talked about how it's important, in the moment, it can still feel very futile.
Yeah.
So what about some deeper things?
Oh, man. Well, I think that for me, I can feel like the nights and days start to get really repetitive, like we were talking about. We have a night waker that is often in our bed for at least a few hours. So that's definitely one of those nights where I'm like, what is the point? Or does this even matter? And then I think too, when I feel brokenness in relationships with friends or family, that's like an acute moment for me to feel like, oh, what am I pursuing? Like, what's the goal?
And like, maybe even that, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of the ongoing griefs. And I know for me, just what you were saying, there's this idea of like life on life and like continually investing in relationships and continually working out all the things that come up in relationships.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can just feel weary of that and just, I don't know, it's easier to just sit at home and keep to ourselves and, you know, watch Netflix than it is to keep pressing through and loving people well in relationship. Or I can feel this way about children sometimes being like annoying or unreasonable with their requests, or you feel like, oh, I put a lot of time to this. I'm really actually trying to train you up in the way of the Lord. I'm actually thinking about bringing like new library books in the car so we can have a pleasant drive on the way home, or, you know, making those things so they can flourish. And sometimes it can just feel like for naught.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. So I think for anybody who's listening, you can think of probably lots of your own things. Perhaps it's laundry for you, recipes, meal planning, coordinating childcare for your job or getting to work, redecorating your living room, feeling like, you know, the next second you're on Instagram and you're like, well, that's out of style.
That's out of style.
5 seconds ago.
Target fully restocked their decor section.
Everything's better somehow than what I just bought.
Looks nothing like what I just did.
Or maybe it's that, you know, you are trying to help your husband to lead your family in teaching your kids the Bible, but you're not seeing him show interest. Or maybe like there is just a lot of griefs in your life over and over again. I know sometimes I can feel like I'm rolling from one grief to the next. Or maybe it's just hearing bad news consistently and feeling like it never seems to get better for you. This is where I think all of us are saying, just like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, I've seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind.
Yeah, it's really interesting to even read through Ecclesiastes and see all of the things that Solomon tries out. I mean, he was somebody with abundant riches and abundant wisdom. He had all this wealth and power and influence. So he could kind of say, okay, I'm going to try to find meaning in all these different things. And if you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you see him saying, I'm going to try to find meaning in laughing more and pursuing pleasure and drinking great wine and learning new things. He builds big houses. He plants gardens. I think one of the verses talks about him planting a forest. I'll enjoy the beauty of the outdoors. You know, he has people that serve him. He pursues it in sex and riches, social status, music and art, working hard, good food, good drink, and even in having children, having a large families. And I think one of the verses, it says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. But his conclusion after all of this in the end is he just like, everybody dies. And none of these things in the end held that quenching power for like the meaning of life, the purpose of life. So he's just like, it's best to serve the Lord and follow him and enjoy the good gifts he's given us in our lives while he can, because ultimately it's only God that satisfies.
Yeah. I think we can emulate Solomon, right? I mean, so often we're saying, well, what's the point? When am I going to finally be happy, have that fulfilling job, have a connected marriage, have more time for my own care, live a well-accomplished life, or climb the corporate ladder, get to the bottom of that never-ending to-do list? We kind of do the same thing that Solomon does, is that we're trying to find meaning and purpose because we want to know that our life matters. We want to know that there really is a point to all of this. So we invest our time in things. And what we really want to get to the heartbeat of today is, what's our destination and our goal as believers? And we want to kind of look for a moment at this passage in Revelation 21, where perhaps we should read it. I don't know. What do you think, Em? Should we?
Yeah, let's read it, because this is kind of like a destination point as we're like looking ahead.
It's Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new.
Mm. That is really powerful. I never get tired of hearing that, that passage. And actually, this last fall, Laura and I heard Erin Davis give a really great talk on this passage. And the point of her talk was to point out this reality that there's only a few things that are going to last. There's these two buckets. I think she talked about them like farm girl buckets, which we totally understood that imagery. that there is no third bucket. The things that are going to last are God and his people and his word. Those are eternal things. And then there's going to be a whole bunch of former things. And in this passage, we see death is going to be no more. Tears are going to be wiped away. Mourning, crying, pain, all of those are going to be former things. And those are some of the things that we feel in that futility of everyday life. And sometimes some of us cry over laundry, or we cry over a diagnosis, or we feel the pain alongside our children, or we feel pain in our own bodies related to motherhood. And just that reality that those are former things, but there are also eternal things that are important that we invest in.
Yeah, I have to remind myself with all of this that what is so sobering about this passage is that you cannot save stuff. Mm-hmm. You can't even save your own experiences or your days. You can't hoard it somewhere for later use. And as Emily was saying, with the two buckets, you have this former things and you have eternal things. There is no in between. And Peter writes, since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it's clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness as you wait for the day of God and hasten its coming. This is the question Emily and I are consistently asking ourselves, is what bucket are we putting things into? Mm-hmm. Are we putting into the former or into the eternal? Are we hoarding things, or are we saying, no, I want to be holy in conduct and in godliness as we wait for God, as we get excited about his coming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as we're looking at this passage and we're seeing the weightiness of the things that, you know, Peter's talking about, these are not things that we talk about on Risen Motherhood in this like deep, sobering way a lot, but let's just make note for a minute that what this doesn't say is that in the meantime, you should be striving to have a Magnolia-style decorated house and have a really great social media following, or, you know, have children that make straight A's and go to an Ivy League school. You should travel the world and eat the best food and be physically beautiful and wear amazing clothing. All of those things, that's not what our life is meant to be about. But a lot of us live like that's what our life should be about, thinking our destination is this kind of elusive version of ourselves. We've talked about this on shows in the past, about this idea that we have of who we should be. And if I can just make it to that point, if I can just look that way, if I can just get my life ordered that way, then I'll be happy. And that's my purpose. But that's not what the Bible says our purpose is.
Yeah, so Emily keeps using this word destination, and I think it's such a helpful word. Romans 8:29 says, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so when we ask ourselves, well, what's our destination? Where are we headed? Is it to be great at motherhood or have a nice house, job success, to save the manatees? I don't know. No, it's to follow Christ and to give it all for him, and we have a destination. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That right there, to be conformed to the image of his son, that is our destination.
Yeah, and one of the things we ought to pause and do is just ask ourselves, are we on that journey? have we committed our lives to Christ? I mean, we don't always have a super clear call for this in our show because we know that a lot of you who are listening and you're wanting to grow in godliness, you have trusted in Christ. But I mean, really quick, if you haven't, just there's limited time. We don't know how much time we have in our lives. If you hear the gospel today, do not harden your heart. Turn while there is still time. When we were on our Risen Motherhood retreat, one of the things we were looking at is the living water of Christ that's available to us right now. He says, come and drink, thirsty, come and drink without price. But there will be a time when we die that we can't come and drink anymore. There isn't that opportunity. We've had it in this life. This is our time right now to repent of sin and turn to Christ. And he wants to welcome us. He is full of mercy and grace. He wants the tired, worn down, broken people to come to him. And so if that's you today, we just want to encourage you. Stop whatever you're doing. Turn from your sin. Pray, cry out to God, and he will save you.
Amen. That is our prayer for every woman who listens to this show, is that they would not only grow in their love of Christ, but perhaps they would meet him for the very, very first time. So at this point, for those of you who are in Christ, this is something that is really, really encouraging, is that we can know that we have this destination in Christ, and that it's not kind of a, oh, this is maybe going to happen, kind of, if you do this, then you're going to get this. No, it's going to happen. And it won't happen in full during your life on earth, but we are progressing towards being conformed into Christ. We're moving towards it. So right now, we're in between that redemption and consummation phase, that already but not yet, as people say. So we've had creation, we were made by God, and he gave us a design and purpose for our life. We had the fall, and sin has impacted that and now keeps us from God's original design. But then we have redemption, where Christ conquered death. And now we have that restoration process where we're being redeemed and we're being conformed in the image of his son. So that's where we are. But that destination is consummation, when God is going to make all things new, like that passage in Revelation said, and he is going to make us fully new at that time. But right now, we're on the path.
We're on the path. And as we're on this journey and we're in our everyday life and we're in the midst of our griefs and we're wondering, like, why does it matter that I'm meal planning? And why does it matter that I'm facing this relational struggle? Like, what's the point of all this? Well, in the meantime, we're servants like Christ. We're busy doing the master's work. This is not our household, it's his. And this is kind of tough for us to realize sometime, but that has to be our posture. Like, yes, we're God's children. Yes, we're his friends through Christ. But if Christ humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, then that's our role too. We're not seating ourselves in the place of honor and getting all of the things we want in this life, but we're willing to do the hard, mundane, lowly, loving work because that's what he does.
Yeah, I think that has been just a massive perspective shift for me in my motherhood and in my whole life. I think as I have grown in my understanding that my life is not my own. We are called to lose our lives all for the sake of Christ. I think for me, as I have seen growth and change in my life, as I've seen myself grow into the image of the Son, that humility portion that Emily is talking about has undergirded everything. And Andrew Murray has a quote where he says, humility is not something that we bring to God or that he bestows. It's simply the sense of entire nothingness that comes when we see how truly God is everything. When the creature realizes this is a place of honor and consents to be with her will, her mind, and her affections, the vessel in which the life and glory of God are to work and manifest themselves, she sees that humility is simply acknowledging the truth of her position as a creature and yielding God to his place. Hmm. And so what I love about that quote is that it talks about how this is a place of high honor, that the lowest path really is the place of highest honor as a believer. And then when we can get that, which it's like a mindset, it becomes something that God can work in and that he uses. And for me, I have personally seen the most growth in my patience as a mom and my ability to handle my husband working a lot and long hours and being kind to him, and my joy that I can have while doing dishes or mopping the floors, just my heart attitude. My circumstances haven't changed at all. But as I've said, Lord, I want to be more like you, help me lose myself, that has been one of the biggest vehicles for, at least for me, to be like a canvas to change.
Yeah, it's like that knowing your destination and knowing that you're a vessel in the meantime allows God to work and use us and change us into the image of Christ. And one of the examples I heard Jen Wilkin give a long time ago that I thought was so helpful to me is when she talks about going into a hotel room and saying, we would never move into a hotel room and call the subcontractors, redo the floor, change our wallpaper, buy new furniture in there, because no, we're just there temporarily. This is not your permanent dwelling. So it doesn't matter if the wallpaper isn't to your taste. And it doesn't matter if you don't love the floors that way. So yeah, you might get your clothes out of your suitcase and put them into the drawers, and you might try to make it as comfortable as you can or homey or enjoy what it is while you're there, but you're not viewing the hotel room as your permanent dwelling. And as we're thinking about our lives, we have to remember, like, we're sojourners. We're aliens in this world. This is not our final home. This is not our final destination. So let's not set up shop here like it's all we've got, and everything better conform to our desires and better be the way that we want and better give us all the things we want right now, because this is all we have. This life is not all we have. All that we have is coming, and we're just walking and serving God day by day until we get to this final point where we get to dwell with him forever, like that Revelation talks about on the new earth. Mm-hmm. That's what we're looking ahead to and living for, and that's our destination.
Amen. And if you've got, let's say, I don't know the age of everyone listening, but you're anywhere from probably 20 to 60 years old right now, most likely, right? And so that means you probably got anywhere from 20 to 60 years left on this earth. You might have one more day. I might have one more day. You have no idea. What we want to hit on here is, if at the end of your days, don't you want to say that you gave it all for the cause of Christ? You did everything you could. You gave every single piece of energy, of every piece of
your mind, your heart, body, yes, soul, spirit, strength.
Thank you.
All those things.
Everything about you, to give it away, because as Emily's talking about, we have eternity to look forward to, and that is so much longer. We can't even compare it to the short, tiny, minute thing that we are living for today. And Karen Hodge, our board director, often says to us that you need to live for the line, not the dot. And so often I find myself living, you know, with tunnel vision, looking down at just this day, this Monday, that I need to get all this stuff done, and that's all I'm living for. But instead, how can I live to see all the way ahead to eternity? And I can live for eternity with that eternal perspective. And it mm-hmm. will change how you live your days. It will change how you order your time, who you spend your time with, how you talk, what you do. When that becomes your orbit, to say, I want to give it all for Christ because I know that I've got eternity and glory awaits me there. True happiness, true joy, everything I've ever wanted, I will get someday. So I don't have to have that here because I've got Christ and he is worth it. This might not all be worth it, but Christ is worth it.
Mm-hmm. So good. Hey there, thanks for listening today. In case you're wondering where that conversation trailed off, you can pick it back up next week. Laura and I got to talking, and this was such a big topic. We had so much to say to each other and to say to you guys that we want to keep the conversation going. So come back next week. We are going to dive into how people can change into Christ-likeness. How do we actually do this boots on the ground? And we're just going to share a few things that we're learning about this personally, and we would love for you guys to join us next week.